Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's message from the archives of Pastor Tony Alamo, presented by Help from Christ Ministries. If today's message inspires or encourages you, please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 764. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. At the end of the program, let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage handling. I'm continuing on in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 9 now. And I've got music and letters. But right now, let's pray, Lord, that you will continue anointing me. Show the people of the world your revelations of the things that are happening now and shall surely soon come to pass. Lord, let everybody know who the beast is and where he's coming from. Let us receive from you whatever it is that you want to say through me. And rebuke Satan. Let souls be saved. Open up many doors for us. And Lord, shut every door to Satan. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now we're in chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. Well, the horns that were sticking up from the altar is where they applied the blood of the sacrifices that were agreeing with God that God was going to come to the world in the flesh as a man. And then when they spilled the blood, they put some of the blood on the horns of the altar, the golden altar, which is before God. Because the Lord sees everything, and everything is before him, but this is really before him as something special. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day, 25 hours, and a month on top of that, and a year, a month, and an hour and a day, for to slay the third part of men. Now, this is God dispatching all this. No, it can't be, because God is all love. He's a chump. We can do anything we want, and we're not going to have to pay for it. We're full of pride. We know more than what the Lord God's word is saying. God values his word higher than his name. And you're saying this is not true, it's not going to happen? Well, you wait and see. Just wait and see. This doesn't sound much like Billy Graham, does it? He's going to tell you that God just loves you. Everything is love, 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 love. Well, it's God dispatching all these woes, amen? Okay, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. Do you know, that's like millions. And I heard the number of them. Verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire. In other words, there's a zeal, a fiery zeal in their hearts to accomplish what God tells them to do. You know, there's some people that when God says something, they just snap to it. They don't sit around to idle. They just snap to it. And that's what these people do, because they're of the Lord. People that like to act laid back and they're boring, they're not. They need to pray for zeal. They have breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. They have the power to hurt people, kill them. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. They're bold to do it, because nothing can hurt them. They're from God. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. What an ugly sight. The Lord not only wants to kill them, but he wants to do something else to them. He wants them to be terrified. If he saw smoke and fire and brimstone coming out of a horse's mouth, and that the horse was coming after you, wouldn't you be a little bit frightened?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. That's something, really something bad that would happen to people. But the worst thing is that they're going into a place full of fire, smoke, and brimstone, and to stay there forever, and there isn't any escape. Why, the devil will tell him, why, you full of pride? You know more than God. Get out of here. Let's see if you can. Let's see if you can get out of here. That's the kind of thing that will happen to people, because just being tormented for a few months, that's bad. And then to be frightened out of your wits and then killed, and then your soul, your spirit, goes down into hell. And then on Judgment Day, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire, where it's just, you're just burning to a crisp every second, every minute. Time is no more, so there's really no seconds or minutes. It just goes on for eternity. Well, I just can't serve a God that does that kind of stuff. Well, that's why he's going to do it to you. To voo. Voo. He's going to do it to you. Who do you think you are, full of pride? You just can't serve a God. You. Big you. Blasphemous you. Well, he doesn't care for you to serve him because you're full of blasphemy. You're full of accusations against God. And so he's going to turn it on real strong for you, son or daughter. You think that you're God? Well, while he's killing you, are you going to tell him, no, I'm God. You can't kill me. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth. Because your mouth is blaspheming God, and you're mouthing the things that Satan's beast tells you to do. You're so full of pride, you don't listen to him, but you listen to the Antichrist. And so God puts power in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. They hurt. But this is what you like, right? Being gods and all, you know, full of pride and blasphemy. That's what you're asking for, and you're going to get it. Verse 20, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their blasphemous hands, their proud hands. You're doing the works of the devil. That's why the Lord repented not. They repented not with the works of their hands, because their hands belong to Satan. Just like some people's hearts belong to Daddy, your hands belong to Satan. He's your God. He's your father. He's your daddy. So that they are not able to worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. They can't speak either. Verse 21, neither repented they of their murders. You people are murderers. You murder little babies. Aren't you proud of yourself that you can take advantage of someone that can't fight back? Well, you're not going to be able to fight back on this. The Lord is doing to you the things that you did to babies. And you like to be homosexuals, knowing that God hates that sin. You never repented of your murders, nor of their sorceries, the evils that you people do, nor of their fornication, which is all the sins that God hates, nor of their thefts. Like the government steals, they think we're big and proud. We're bigger than Nebuchadnezzar ever thought of being, and we push God away, and we'll steal Christians' houses and their businesses. We'll steal their children. We'll take everything because we our God. Well, we'll just wait and see. They won't repent of their thefts. I mean, people are weeping and crying and say, I want my children. I want their mine. No, they're not. I took them and I'm going to keep them. You weasels. You bastards. You're bastards. That's what you are. And the Lord is going to take it out on you now. Hallelujah. You don't repent of their filthy sins or their thefts. Well, we'll just all stand up, dearly beloved. We come together this day to intertwine these two souls, he or she or he she's or whatever you are, whatever you're going to be, in unholy matrimony. Then they marry two men together, and then two women they marry together. Isn't that sick? And you're so gone. You're so full of pride and so full of blasphemy, which is the same thing. You push the words of God back, and you're making that what God said is evil. You're trying to make that good. And you're making that which is good evil because we don't want to associate with a bunch of perverts. Or even one pervert. Well, preach the gospel to them, but if you don't accept it, you're doing your best to steal souls because you're teaching people the wrong thing and their souls are believing it and therefore they're not receiving what the Lord says. And you've got the media behind you. You've got the government behind you. And all you are is a little frog-like spirit. And you're over with now. These things I'm reading now are just around the corner. If I were you, and I'm so happy that I'm not you, I would repent and believe the gospel, believe God's word. Okay, now we're in chapter 10 of Revelation, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now this is the angel of the Lord. This is actually the Lord himself, because he made a promise to all humanity that he wouldn't destroy everybody on earth with water, with a flood anymore. So he comes down in a cloud and there's a rainbow, and he put a rainbow in the heavens as a reminder to him not to drown everybody, even though he wants to. The reminder, the rainbow, tells him, no, you can't. I won't break my own commandments. So I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun. Nobody has a face like the Lord, the S-U-N. And his feet as pillars of fire, because wherever he walks, the zeal is in his walk, and in his talk, and in his bosom. Verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. Isn't that something? God is so big and powerful that he creates the entire universe, and yet he has a little book in his hand. He wants to see if people will pay attention to everything that looks insignificant, that is his commandment. And nothing is insignificant with the Lord. He even paints the flowers so pretty, little details on them. So he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Well, because he's the God of heaven and earth and the sea. He's the God of everything. Verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. These are seven warnings. Seven is one of the perfect numbers of God. He's saying, this is really going to happen, folks. The seven seals. In other words, pay attention to these seven seals. Amen. Because what I'm telling you, when it's understood as it is today, like Tony's telling you, you better pay attention. Seven thunders uttered their voices. Or these seven seals uttered their voices. They have voices. And they utter their voices. And we can understand them now. Verse 4, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. These things are for only the spiritual people in the future that are living in the days when these things are coming to pass, for them to know. The Lord is warning everybody. Isn't that a good God?
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. But there's people that don't believe that. But they will. But it'll be when it's too late, though. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. Verse 6, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. It's over. Okay, it's all over. There's not going to be any more time. It's going to be eternity now. The judgment is upon all flesh. No more time. Time's up. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So the mystery of God is finished. Everyone that is not of the Lord figures that God is a mystery because they never seek him. Now, the Lord hides. It's the glory of God to hide a matter, his truth. But it's the glory of men, wise men, men that are filled with fear of the Lord, to seek the matter out. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven, which is the voice of God, spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Verse 9, and I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me that little book, like God is telling me to get from you. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. Why will it make his belly bitter? Because the things that are going to happen, it tells what's happening in there. And because of the things that he's going to be asked to do. It seems really bitter to actually do some of the things that the Lord tells you to do. But when you do it, you find out that you're so happy that you did it, because there's glory and honor and praise for doing what the Lord says to do. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. When you receive the word of God, the people that sit around and just read it, oh, it's sweet as honey to them, but they don't want to do it because it's a bitterness in their gut. Verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy. Oh, here it comes, the bitterness. Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And that's the end of chapter 10. We're just moving right along, aren't we?
Yeah.
Chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Measure the temple of God. Where is that at today? You are the temple of God. The measuring rod happens to be the Bible. And you're to measure yourself by the word of God to see if you're going to enter heaven or not, or if you're going to hell. If you see that you're going to hell, then repent very quickly. And measure the temple of God, which is the people in the church, and the altar, their hearts, and them that worship their ends. There's no mistake, it's them that worship there. We measure them by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's all the same, one and the same. Verse 2, but the court, which is without the temple, which is outside the temple, leave out, don't measure it, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. See, the Gentiles were given an opportunity to believe the gospel, be saved, and they've had that opportunity for 2,000 years, and now they've, most of them have gone back and have become another sign, which is mentioned in the second chapter, 2 Thessalonians, by the Apostle Paul, that says there'll be a great falling away in the last days of the people that were saved, but they're not saved anymore because they started believing in the Antichrist. So this part, don't measure them, because if you measure them, they're just of the devil. They're full of pride. They're full of blasphemy, and they're of the devil. There's no need to measure them. You know what they are. They're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. Put them outside. Anyone that doesn't measure up to the Lord, get them outside of the church. Put them out there. Just do what the Lord says, and you'll be blessed. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The holy city, is that Rome? That's what the Antichrist says, the holy sea. The unholy sea is what it should be called. It's what it really is. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. Okay, well, we're going to get more into the two witnesses, but I see that it's time to read some letters that we received. And make sure you tune in tomorrow so you can hear the continuation of the most important thing in the world, which is the Word of God. His promises to you are true. All right, where's the first letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
All right, what do they have to say?
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Praise His holy name. We found liberty at Calvary. His precious blood made a way where there was not a way for us to reach a holy and righteous God. The last newsletters you sent to me have been distributed, and I was amazed at the change it is bringing into the lives of the people. They promised to serve the Lord with their hearts. Some promised to write to you. I wish to request for 20 copies of the book Messiah and 200 of your different newsletters, some Bibles, and any other literature to help me in my evangelism distribution. I will be calling out your name before the throne of God and lifting up the U.S. to our Lord in prayer. May our gracious Heavenly Father abundantly bless you. Light and life has you spreading the salvation message to this sinful world. In His precious love, Buwalia from Luala Pula region, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, we have time for a short letter if you have one. It doesn't have to be too short, but we've only got about a half a minute left.
From Abidjan, Ivory Coast. I was pleased to read your writings, notably Dry Bones and The Messiah, just to mention a couple. I want to join in the work with you through the distribution of your literature and to represent the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries here in the Ivory Coast. May Christ Jesus bless you. Signed, Christian from Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get the scriptures from the book of Zacharias. It talks of the two witnesses there. Yes, the Lord said, these are my two witnesses. And we're going to get into that very strongly. But right now it's time for everyone to be reconciled to God. And the way that we get reconciled is we accept God's only begotten Son at that time. The one who never sinned. From the day He was born to the day that He was crucified. So say this prayer to the Lord God. Through Jesus' name, say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that You, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus, Holy Father, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. You value your word higher than your name. And so therefore, I trust your word. And I love your word. Therefore, I know you've heard me and you've answered me. And I know I'm saved. And therefore, I just praise and thank you, Lord. Raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord for saving your eternal soul. And Sharon, tell everyone how to receive a copy of this program, number 764. It's free.
Go to alamoministries.com. Email us at taoffice@alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 2948, Hollywood, California, 90078. Or call area code 661-252-5686. That's 661-252-5686.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow so that you can learn the reality of the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're going to keep reading on. So I'm going to sing for you now, In the City Where the Lamb, or where Jesus, is the light. Praise the Lord.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by, to the city where the Lamb is alive. Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in the city where they're coming no night. Well, I got a mansion over there that's free from toil or care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. There the flowers bloom forever and a day. Shall be one eternal day without an eye. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. And in that city where the Lamb is alive. Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive. Yeah, in the city where there cometh no night. Well, I got a mansion over there that's free from toil or care. I'm going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds of rain until we go to that city where the Lamb is alive. Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive. Yes, in that city where there cometh no night. Well, I've got a mansion over there that's free from toil or care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Well, in the city where the Lamb is alive.
For generations, many have been blessed by the anointed messages of Pastor Tony Alamo. Help from Christ Ministries is always eager to hear from our viewers. Please contact us at 918-506-5550. That's 918-506-5550. Or help from Christ Ministries at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.